Amen. Prayerfully, hopefully that's the prayer of your heart as well. And I challenge you this morning to open up your heart to the Word of God today as we seek the Lord to speak to our hearts this morning. Take your Bibles and turn over to John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9. And we're going to use the whole passage, the whole chapter as our text this morning. And so for the sake of time, I'm not going to read through it all right now, but we'll read through it as we go along in the message. But let me give you some context here by way of introduction. What we find in this great passage of Scripture is a man that is born blind. And we are in our Miracles of Jesus series. And last week, we considered Jesus healing a blind man. And this passage brings us the very next miracle that we have recorded. It brings us to another healing of a blind man, except this man is born blind. This man lived his entire life as a blind person, and now he's an adult. And so the picture that it creates for us is that this man's entire life was lived in a world of darkness. Last week we considered a man who hadn't been born blind. He wasn't born his entire life. He had some knowledge of what some things looked like and so on. But this man was different. He lived his entire life in a world of darkness. He'd never seen the sunshine. He'd never seen the light of day. He'd never seen the green leaves that are budding on the trees as the seasons change. He'd never seen the face of his parents. He didn't know what they looked like. He'd never seen the smile of his mother as she watched her little boy growing. All of his life, all he had ever known was a complete world of darkness. Understand this picture, this situation, the condition this man was in. He lived in this world of darkness until he met Jesus. And the Bible says that when Jesus healed this man, he went from blindness, from a world of darkness, to being introduced to a whole new world of light. And I want us to go through this passage this morning, and the events surrounding the healing of this man's blindness make some applications, some parallels for us this morning as we consider this subject, Jesus, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, we pray that you'd open our understanding. And Father, impart to us truth and light today. Father, work in hearts today. And if there's any among us who've never been saved, who've never repented of their sin, Father, and come to a full understanding and knowledge of their offense toward God and the condemnation they abide under, Father, I pray that today would be the day that they yield their will and receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Father, going from a world of darkness, spiritual darkness, into light. And Lord, we ask that you'd bless now according to your will. Father, guide my thoughts and my tongue. Father, we seek to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing that I want you to note with me about this man and his condition is the misery of his blindness. Look with me in verses 1 through 3 of John chapter 9. John 9, verses 1 through 3. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Here we see the misery of blindness. As the scriptures state here, this man was born blind, and the Bible says that there were those who just assumed that there was some great sin that this man or his parents had committed, and that was the reason that he was born blind. Now, first of all, that doesn't make any sense. How could the man commit sin if he was born blind? How could sin in his mother's womb? But here they just assumed that there's some great sin that had occurred, and that's the reason that this man was born blind. But that's not why he was born blind. Because verse 3 tells us, look at this, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The Bible says here that this man was born blind so that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would have the opportunity of showing forth his divine power and his mercy. Very similarly, we see in John chapter 11 that Lazarus, who died, was permitted to die so that the works, the mighty power and works of God would be made known and an opportunity to show forth the power of Jesus Christ. This man did not just have physical blindness. That wasn't his only problem. This man also was spiritually blind. And I'll get to this in a little while in this passage of Scripture. You'll just have to bear with me as we get to that point. But I see a great parallel here in this man's story with each and every one of us and each and every person who's ever lived or ever will live. We all have a problem. And we have a problem that is called sin. That sin problem has caused us to be spiritually blind. And the Bible tells us that we are born into this world as sinners. Now, somebody might say, well, you know what? It wasn't my choice to be born a sinner. I didn't choose to come into this world this way. Well, you know what? We didn't really choose to be born either. We didn't have a say in the matter, right? But the fact of the matter is, we are sinners by nature. We're born into this world already condemned before God. We're born into this world spiritually blind. And we could debate all day long the hows and the whys and so on. And we could say, it's not my fault. I didn't choose to be this way. But that in no way changes the fact that we are. Just like this man didn't choose to be born blind. That was given to him. He didn't have a choice in the matter, but it didn't change the fact that he was blind. And that was the issue that had to be dealt with. And in much the same way, my friends, when we're talking about spiritual blindness and this condition that we have, this problem that we have as sinners, it's not so much the mystery of how or why we're born sinners, it's the fact that we are sinners that we have to deal with. Look with me in Romans chapter 5, if you will. Romans chapter 5. I want you to look with me in verse 12. This verse talks about the reign of sin and death on the human condition. Wherefore, as by one man, that one man was Adam, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Bible states very clearly here that sin entered into the world because of one man's sin, but because of that one man's sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know what? It wasn't my fault that I was born a sinner. I didn't choose to be. But it doesn't change the fact that I am a sinner. It doesn't change the fact that the consequences of sin abide upon me because of my sin. And when I stand before God, it's not going to hold any water with God if I were to stand before God and say, well, God, it wasn't my fault. I didn't choose to be born into this world this way. If you'd given me a choice, God, well, then things might have been different. That's not going to hold any water with God. And I'll talk about this in a little while because there is no excuse for our spiritual blindness. But let me point this out, and let me say this morning. Because of the fact that we are born sinners, because of the fact that we are already born into this world condemned, that leads to or makes us spiritually blind. We're blind to spiritual truth. Nobody is born into this world with a nice, white, clean slate, right? And the first time that they commit a sin, there's a black mark that's put onto their slate. And over the years, as they commit sin, there are more and more and more and more black marks put on this white slate. That's not true. We're all born, if you want to say it, we're all born with a black slate. There's nothing good about any one of us. And we're not sinners because we sin. No, it's the other way around. We commit sin because we're sinners. That's how we're born. We're born into this world already condemned, already spiritually blind. This blind man did not choose to be born blind. It wasn't his fault. But it didn't change the fact that he was blind. And in the same way, we are born sinners, not by our choice necessarily, but that in no way changes the fact that we are. And that's the issue that man needs to deal with. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 11 and verse 32 says, "For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Galatians 3 and verse 22 says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." Here's the truth of the matter. We're sinners by nature, and we sin by choice. We're born into this world spiritually blind and in darkness. And that's the issue that each person needs to understand and consider. The second thing I want you to note with me, back in John chapter 9, we saw the misery of blindness. This man was born blind, never had seen the light of day. But I want you to note with me then in verses 6 and 7, the method of deliverance. The method of deliverance. Excuse me. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Here we find the method of deliverance. And the method of this man's healing is probably one of the strangest and most mysterious of all of the healing miracles that Jesus performed. This man's eyes, the Bible said, were anointed with clay made of spittle. So here is Jesus, the Son of God, who comes to this man and he stands in front of him, let's say, and he spits on the ground. Now, it's really disgusting when I'm, you know, you're walking about and you're around town and you're all this kind of stuff and you hear someone just snort it and then they, you know, and they call it, and this is gross, pardon me, ladies, they call it hawking a loogie. It's disgusting. It's gross. And I don't know that that's necessarily what Jesus did here. I always found it terribly revolting, working construction. I may have told you this before. There's a guy that I worked with who was he chewed tobacco all the time. And it was awful because, you know, he had his big lip hole chew like this, but he'd always have to spit it out. And so what he would do is every morning we'd go to a job site, we'd always stop at a gas station on the way, and he'd buy himself a Mountain Dew, a 20-ounce of Mountain Dew. And, you know, a bottle of Mountain Dew is a clear, see-through sort of kind of bottle, right? He would drink all that down, and then he'd start his chewing for the day. That bottle of Mountain Dew became his spit cup for his chew all day long. Oh, and it just, I just start to get really, I'm serious. I'm not even kidding when I tell you I'm about to dry heave. I'm not even kidding when I tell you this. Just the sight of it. I just see it in my mind. It makes me just right here, I feel it starting to rise up. He would just in this thing all day long. That thing would fill up like almost half full of spit mixed with chew. And it, we'll be done talking about it. That's not the picture, I don't think, of that we need to create of what Jesus did with this man. Certainly, the Bible tells us that he spit on the ground and he mixed that spittle in with the dirt and formed clay and put it on this man's eyes. Here's the method of deliverance. And somebody might say, well, why did Jesus do that? I don't really have a good answer as to why he did that. But let me point this out to you this morning. Is that what really healed this man of his blindness? Was there some magic formula in what Jesus just did that caused this man to be able to receive his sight? Is that really what it was that healed this man of his blindness? No, I don't think so at all. All of those things that we just read about in themselves were weak things. What really gave this man his sight, what really was the eye-opening power that gave this man his sight was in this, listen, here it is, was this in this man's obedience to the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, here, look with me, in verse 7, and said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The Bible says that he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came again seeing. What does it tell us about this man? That he went away as a blind man, but he obeyed the voice of the Lord, and upon his obedience to the command of Christ, he came again as a changed man. That's what the Bible tells us here. Listen, this man who was blind was not responsible for being born blind, but he was responsible for accepting or rejecting the message of grace and deliverance that had come to him through Jesus Christ. Let me say it again so we drive this point home. He was not responsible for being born blind, but he was responsible for accepting or rejecting this message of deliverance given to him by Jesus Christ. If he had despised the means by which he was to be healed, he would have not been obedient to the word, and he would have remained in his darkness. We read in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 5 about a man named Naaman. You recall him. Naaman was a captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man. And the Bible says that he was honorable in the sight of all of the people. But the problem with Naaman was that he was a leper. He had a skin disease that caused him to be, you know, deformed and caused his skin to rot and so on. And here's this great and honorable man in the sight of all the people, but he was a leper. Naaman wanted to be cleansed of his leprosy. And so what he did was he went to the man of God, the prophet Elisha, to be healed. And the man of God told him to go and wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times. And when he had done that, then he would be cleansed of his leprosy. But the Bible says that Naaman was wroth, he was angry, he was mad. And he despised the means by which he would be healed. And he said, why don't I just wash in the rivers in Syria? Aren't they cleaner and better? And he went his way in a rage. And guess what? He was still a leper. And it wasn't until one of his servants convinced him to listen to the man of God and obey what he said to do. It wasn't until Naaman finally submitted himself in obedience to the command that he finally was cleansed of his leprosy. And the same is true for this blind man. If he were to despise the command of Jesus, if he were to say, what is this? This clay that you're putting on my eyes, what is this going and washing thing? Isn't there some better way? He wouldn't have been obedient, and he would have never been able to see the very thing that he so longed for. And may I say to you this morning that we are all in the same condition as spiritually blind people. Listen, we can be healed from our darkness and our spiritual blindness, but only if we obey the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we can be set free from our blindness. We can be given spiritual sight. We can be given brand new life. We can be saved. We can have our sins forgiven, but only if we are obedient to the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You know what this world thinks, that the preaching of the gospel is foolish? What is this death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What is this issue of being a sinner? I'm a pretty good person, and if we just all continue to live, you know, according to our conscience and if everybody is just kind one to another, then you know what? Well, I'll be fine. Well, I'm in a good place. That's the philosophy of the world. The philosophy of religion is, if you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you say seven Hail Marys, and 16 Our Fathers, and you do the rosary, and you take communion, and you're a good church member, and you do all of these things, that when you stand before God, you're going to have merit and favor with God because of all the good things that you've done. That's what religion teaches. But the Bible says that only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse a man of sin. The Bible says that we're all offensive toward God because we're sinners. We're born this way. The Bible says that the condemnation and the wrath of God abides upon us, and we're condemned already. And what we need is the mercy of God. We need a Savior. We need to repent of our sin and turn to Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. But so often people despise the means of salvation. Oh, I'm fine. You know what? I've got my religion. I go to church all the time. I try to live a good life. I do all of these things. I think I'm okay with God. Despising the means by which we can have eternal life. The preaching of the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. You know what? That may seem like dust and spittle and clay to some. But inside of that contains the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, the command of Christ's word to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The command of Christ to this blind man was to go and to wash, and then he would be healed from his darkness. And the command of Christ today to all men everywhere is to repent and to believe the gospel. Look with me in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, please. Verse 19, the Bible says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Repent, that your sins may be blotted out. We've been talking in our Wednesday night, we've been talking about the process of salvation, or the elements that need to be involved in someone's life in order for them to truly be saved. Repentance is a key. Repentance is a missing ingredient. There is no salvation outside of repentance. And the command of Christ to all men everywhere is to repent. Understand this. What is it that causes spiritual blindness? Well, it's sin. Sin is the cause of spiritual blindness. What is it that cleanses a man of sin according to the Word of God? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." How is the blood of Christ applied to a person's life? Acts chapter 20 and verse 21 says, "Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." That is how the blood is applied. It's when we believe and obey the Word of God, putting God's Word to the test by an actual definite committal, that we are cured of our spiritual blindness, that we're set free, we're forgiven of our sin. You know what? There is no excuse for spiritual blindness. Someone might say, "Well, I didn't choose to be born a sinner." It doesn't change the fact that we are. And we've got to deal with that issue of our sin. But there is no excuse to remain in a lost condition. There's no excuse to remain in a spiritually blind condition. Look with me in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And look at verse 12. John 8 verse 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Here's the answer, my friend, to spiritual blindness and darkness. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness." If this man had despised the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have never had the opportunity to see. If he ignored the command of Jesus to go and to wash, If he had not obeyed, if he had just sat there as a blind man, if he had ignored the command of the Lord, he would have never been able to see. And the same is true today, my friend. When a person, a man, a woman, boy, girl, ignores the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to repent of their sin and trust in Christ, they are losing their opportunity to be free from spiritual blindness. We rebel against the command of the Lord. And we might not have chosen to be born into this world sinners, but we are responsible for accepting or rejecting the message of deliverance. There are too many people who try to convince themselves that, you know, they're not really that bad. I'm a pretty good person. There are too many who think that because they're a member of some denomination or even non-denominational church, that somehow that pleases God enough to merit favor with Him. But the Bible says that deliverance is only found in the person of Jesus Christ, just like it was for this blind man. No one else could heal him. Nobody else could give him his sight. And it's true when it comes to spiritual blindness. No one else can heal us and forgive us of our sin. There's nothing that we can do. This man could not heal himself. There's nothing that we can do to gain favor with God. The deliverance is only in Jesus Christ. So I want you to go back with me to John chapter 9, please. We saw the misery of blindness. We saw the method of deliverance. But I want you to note with me in the rest of this chapter, the ministry of the Master. The ministry of the Master. As I said to you earlier, this man's only problem wasn't just physical blindness. He was also spiritually blind. And I want you to note with me this progression in the ministry of the Master, of this man's understanding of who Jesus really is, or who Jesus really was. All right? Look with me in verse 11. And he answered and said, let's go back to verse 8. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." Therefore said they unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" He said, "I know not." They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, "He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see." Therefore said some of the Pharisees, "This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, "What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes. We know not, he is of age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself." These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, "He is of age, ask him." Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, excuse me, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God, he doeth and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Now, we'll read the rest of those verses in just a minute. But I want you to go along with me on this progression of this man's spiritual understanding of who Jesus really is. Jesus, when he passed by, the Bible tells us that this man's life was changed forever. Jesus first healed him of his physical handicap. But after Jesus exposed this man to some physical light, he began to lead him through a series of events that brought him face to face with who Jesus really is. And being able to see with physical eyes isn't enough. He needed to come to the place where he was able to see spiritual truth. And that's what Jesus did here. So I want you to note with me the progression that this man went through as light began to shine into his life. In verses 10 through 12, note what he calls Jesus, this man. Verse 10, Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. So note here, when the people asked this man who had healed him, all he knew was that it was some guy named Jesus. He said, Some man named Jesus. And you know what? It probably could have been any one of 1,000 people named Jesus. He didn't know exactly who he was dealing with. But you know what? This is really where many people are today. They know of the name Jesus, but they don't know who he is. All they know about Christians is that Christians get all excited about this fellow named Jesus. You know, just knowing a little bit about Jesus or being able to say his name, being sort of familiar with who he is not enough to save a person of their sin. You know, adhering to some tenets of Christianity, using the name Jesus is not enough to save somebody from their sin. If you don't know Jesus any more than just what his name is, then you don't know him at all. This is very limited knowledge here, but it is the first step on the road to genuine salvation. So now note, he calls this man Jesus, but note with me verses 13 to 17, okay? They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. So here, when the Pharisees heard of the miracle, they called this blind man and they tried to get to the bottom of this thing. Some of them were upset that Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. Others said how can a sinner do such miracles? And the Bible says that there was a division there. But they asked this blind guy, How in the world did you receive your sight? And who was it that did this? And note what he calls him. First, it was a man named Jesus. But now he says he is a prophet. In other words, in their culture, he was a man that should be listened to. He had listened to Jesus once. He obeyed the word of the Lord, and it resulted in his healing. Therefore, he's concluding that Jesus is worthy of being listened to. You know what? There's a whole lot of people in our world who've received this much light about who Jesus is. In their opinion, you know, Jesus is a wise man. Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was one who showed the way. However, before a person can truly be saved, before a person can have forgiveness of their sins, they're going to have to realize that Jesus is someone who is far more than one who showed the way. A person has to come to the place where they see Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And that there is no coming to God and there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Now look in verses 18 to 33. Note the progression here. So here he called him Jesus, a man named Jesus. Then he calls him a prophet. But as we read on, things change a little bit. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And so in verses 19 and following, they questioned the parents, and the parents said, look, we know this guy, we know he's our son, and we know that he was born blind, but how he received his sight, we don't know. Why don't you go ask him for yourself? He's of age. Of course, they were afraid of the Pharisees because the Pharisees had already said, if anybody confesses that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, we're going to kick him out of the synagogue. And so if for fear of being kicked out of the synagogue, they say, why don't you go ask him yourself? And so they did. Verse 24, then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. You can't take that away from me, he said. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. See the progression here? He goes from calling him a man named Jesus to calling him a prophet, somebody that should be listened to thirdly saying that he's a man of God. And so what we find here, well, through a series of questions by these Pharisees and some really good preaching on the part of this guy, he arrives at the conclusion that Jesus is a man of God. Otherwise, he could do nothing. And you know what? He's right. But here's the thing. He still isn't quite going far enough. Lost people, people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, people who are still in their sins, lost people have to get past the fact that Jesus was just a man. They need to realize that he's also God. He wasn't just a man of God. He was the God-man. In John chapter 1, in verse 1, we see that the Word, that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In verse 9, we talks about how Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Listen, an ordinary man could never provide salvation for sinners. It took one who was both God and man at the same time to pay the eternal price for our sin. And yes, he was right. He is a man of God. But he was far more than that. He's the God-man. And I want you to look in verses 34 to 38. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Here, the progression goes to the realization of who Jesus really is. First of all, he was a man named Jesus. Then he was a prophet. Then he was a man of God. And finally, he arrives at the conclusion that he is the Son of God. Jesus comes to this man personally. And when he does, he reveals his true identity to this man. And it's at this point that this man confesses Jesus to be the Son of God and, I believe, is gloriously saved. The Bible says that he worshipped him. And so this man had progressed from seeing Jesus as just one among many, or one to be listened to, or one that should be followed, to now seeing Jesus as the only one who is worthy of faith and worship. And let me make this application. This is the conclusion that each one must arrive at before they could ever be saved. Either he's the Son of God, as he said, or he's not worthy of our worship and our praise. If he's not who the Bible says he is, if he's not who he said he was, then listen, you and I, we're on the road to hell. Our sins are not forgiven, and we're of all men most miserable. We need to go from seeing Jesus as just a good man to seeing him as God. And that's the place that everyone needs to come to if they expect to be saved. Let me ask you this question. Have you realized that this morning? Have you confessed Jesus Christ as God in human flesh, the one who paid the price for your sin? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you repented of your sin and trusted in Him? Listen, if we despise or ignore the command to repent, we are forfeiting our opportunity to receive sight. The Bible goes on to say that these Pharisees cast him out of the synagogue because he refused to bow to the pressure that they were putting on him. But from what I see, that was the best thing that could have ever happened to him. To do away with the old dead religion so that he could meet the Savior. And I want you to note with me in closing here, verses 39 to 41. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Christ came not to condemn the world by an act of judgment, but by his coming as the light of the world, he could not avoid passing the sentence of death upon darkness and sin. These words spoken by the Lord contain his own application of the spiritual meaning of the miracle of the healing of the blind man. There are none so blind as those who don't wish to see. These Pharisees said, We see, yet they saw not Jesus Christ as the light and the Savior of the world. Although Jesus opened this blind man's eyes and gave the spiritual significance of it, these people denied the Lord Jesus Christ when they said, We know that this man is a sinner. Therefore, they were condemning themselves by preferring the darkness of ignorance and death to the light of the knowledge and life. Those who are blind spiritually and know it are the ones who will quickly receive sight, because they'll soon turn to him who came to save their sin, save them from their sin. But those who say, We see, and abide in the light of their own eyes, which is man's philosophy and man's religion, will one day find out how blind they really were when they stand before God. Your sin remaineth as long as you walk in the light of your own eyes. Listen, the opening of this man's blind eyes in the passage is a witness of Christ's power to impart spiritual vision and to save people from their sin. But it's also a warning to those who trust in the light of their own eyes, their own understanding. For those who say, you know what, I'm a pretty good person. I'm fine. I've got my religion. I go to church. I'm good. One day we're all going to stand before God. God's going to be happy. Listen, there are none so blind as those who refuse to see. Jesus Christ can impart spiritual light. Jesus Christ can bring us to the place of acknowledgement and recognition of our own sin and our guilt before God. He can do that. But not if we despise the command or ignore the command of the Lord to repent of our sin. If we don't see ourselves in light of who of how God sees us, we'll never come to the place of genuine salvation. These Pharisees receive the judgment of God when they pass from this life because they ignored and despised the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Have you repented of your sin? If you haven't, you need to today. Because you're passing by and forfeiting the opportunity for the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, pray that you'd work in hearts today. Father, give sight to blinded eyes. Father, for those who are among us without Christ, Father, I pray that you'd draw them to the Lord Jesus today. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.